Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gods, goddesses, and heroes of all ages, we welcome you to the wonderful world of Walt Disney's Animation Studios. Guys, this is part of our Disney Eras series at Systematic Geekology, where we're going through the different eras of Disney films, starting with the Golden Era all the way through the Revival Era of Disney. And we're just going to highlight a few different movies and talk about it. If you want to hear the whole series, the description, we have a link. You could hear all of it. If you're wondering what are Disney eras, the very first episode, we break down all the different eras, how they're defined, what the themes are, and all of that. I think it's a great episode to go back and check out. But you don't need to check it out if you just want to hear me talk about my favorite Disney film. Today, we're talking about Hercules. And no, I did not mean Hunkules. I did mean Hercules. He puts the glad in Gladiator. And in my heart, I love him. I'm going to let you guys know. I'm Josh Winnell, and it's impossible. At the end of this episode, no matter what we do, I will wish I said more. I will think of some funny thing that happened in the movie that I didn't say. And there's no way that I'm going to leave this feeling like I said everything that needs to be said about the greatness of Hercules. But luckily, I do have some help. I have the greatest co-host who's part of the conspiracy against me, the one and only Elizabeth Pangling and Clyde. How's it going, Pang?
Hi, it's going pretty well. Can't complain.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I remember right, Mulan is your favorite. We're doing that movie next in the series.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. Got to stay with my Chinese roots.
Where does Hercules sit? Where does Hercules sit for you? Is it near the
Hercules
top?
Hercules sits definitely top five. So I feel like it's okay for your top to kind of like the shift in order depending on the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Hercules will always be top five.
For sure. So with that, one of the things I've been geeking out on, I'm going to keep this whole episode just going to be just totally on point. One of the things I've been geeking out on is they recently wrapped up the Hades comic book series. And yes, that's Hades from the Hercules movies. He had a series on, I think it was Image Comics that they did. And it was he was putting together a heist with Icarus and some of the other ones. I'm sure I'll mention the comic more later on. It was a really fun comic book. It was just fun revisiting the world of Hercules and seeing Hades and getting to root for him, because there wasn't really a true protagonist of the series. So you're just getting to root for Hades and laugh at his jokes. It's a good time. Anyway, with that, Pang, what have you been geeking out on?
So I discovered another romance anime. Shocker, everyone. I'm so on brand. It's the longest anime title I think I've ever decided to commit to. It's called The Seventh Time Loop. The villainess enjoys a carefree life married to her worst enemy.
Oh, you actually meant title. I thought you meant like going on the long.
It's all no. They're like, longer than One Piece? Freaking longest title ever. And I'm like, wow. So pretty much she keeps on getting reincarnated and she keeps on dying. So this is her seventh time trying out her life, trying not to die. And it's so cool because she's learning different. Like one time she was a merchant. One time she was this. So she keeps on like every time she relives her life, she gets the skills from her past life. So she's impressive.
All right.
Yeah. Go watch it.
So sorry, I don't have anything to add to that. I don't watch enough anime to comment.
But I mean, you can appreciate trying to relive your life with different skills and different pathways. That's fun.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is. Yeah. That's
Sounds fun. If I were into that, that would be fun.
If we believe in reincarnation, you know, it would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, drop a rate and review down below. If you're on the internet, take some extra time. It really helps us if you go to Podchaser to leave a review. It really helps other people find the show. So we do appreciate that. Doing a shout out, one of our supporters of the show, Daniel Sigmund. Thank you so much for making this possible. If you want your own shout out, you can support the show on Captivate, Patreon, or Apple Podcast. I believe Daniel is a patron, so big shout out to you, Daniel. Thank you so much for your time, your support, and your money. Guys, this is the second film we've done in the Renaissance era of Disney animation. So if you want to catch up on the whole playlist again, remember there's that link down below. The first film we did in the Renaissance era was also with Ping, and we talked about Lion King. So if you want to hear our reviews of Lion King.
Am I in all those eras, I think?
Yeah, all of the Renaissance era.
Yes.
Yeah, all of like the 90s Disney.
As we should.
Elizabeth is here. Yeah.
Because so, I am a 90s baby.
So with that, without further ado, I'm so excited. We're going to talk about Disney's Hercules. God, what is this movie? This, I can't put it in words.
This movie,
a masterpiece.
It's just like the music is still one of my favorite. It was so ahead of its time musically wise as well. And then just the hilariousness of it. Like my favorite part will always be him wearing the shoes and like them having merch. Cause back in that time era, it's just, there's no way. You know what I mean? Like far out there. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I think a lot of people might not realize this is Disney's first comedy. They had movies with comedy in it, but they were, you know, fantasy dramas. You know, you think about your princess films. You had, technically you had scary movies. You had, I don't know what Hunchback of Notre Dame was, but this was the first one that was straight up meant to be a satire comedy. And it was funny from beginning to end. It was hilarious. It is the story. It's not truly the story. It's nothing like the story of Hercules from the Greek myths at all. But they're pulling the characters from Greek mythology. And we're discussing Zeus, the son of Zeus, who loses his godship. And then how does he become a god again and discover what it means to be a hero? Growing up, life thinking he was a normal person up until about his teen years, halfway through the movie. And he realizes he is the son of a god and has to earn his way back. And what does that journey look like? How does he get there? That's what this movie is. Peng, if you had to just describe or summarize this film, how would you do it?
I would just say motivating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Inspirational. I agree. Yeah,
You didn't say one word, but I just felt like I had to describe it in one word.
Yeah. No, I meant like summarize the movie.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you just wanted like overall opinion.
But that also is a good, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So summarizing the movie, we just go through. It's so funny because he is so scrawny. So pretty much Hercules, not Hercules, but Hades, he wants to take over the world. And then these three old hags, the witches, I'm not sure exactly what they're called. They're kind of creepy, actually. They're a little creepy.
Yeah, they are.
Especially whenever they take the hair off the eyeball and it like has that like wet string to it.
The underworld altogether was creepy to me.
Disgusting. But visually well done. Like everything was such a
Like
feast for the eyes, if you will. Didn't love that term, but that's just the only thing I can think of right now.
Yeah.
And so the only one, it says if Hercules fights, you shall fail. So now he has to kill Hercules. And what easier way than killing him as a baby? And then you have, what was it? Pain and Suffering is the two little dudes.
Yeah, the little demon guys.
little demon heifers.
I love them.
It's just so funny because I think it's, which one's Pain? Is he the blue one?
Yeah. I think Pain's if I'm thinking right. No, I think it's the other way around. I think the tiny blue one is Panic and then the big purplish one is Pain.
Got it.
But it might be backwards. Something like that.
So it's just so funny and it lives rent-free whenever they try to kill the Hercules baby by making him drink the poison, but he has to drink every single last drop. He doesn't do it. And they're like, hey, he's going to be so mad when he finds out. And then Panic or Suffering, the fat red one, said, if he finds out.
If it's
and then
good.
Panic goes, yeah, if it's good. And so I literally say that in just casual conversations, like, if it's good.
The one I say in casual conversation. What I say is someone's mad at me and I'm not afraid to make them more mad and I'm okay being silly. I always go to the, we are worms, worthless worms.
That is funny.
It's so funny.
I think one of the most underrated jokes at the beginning is when the Cupid dude is like, I haven't seen this much love since Narcisse discovered himself. And it's just like him looking in a mirror.
You know what I noticed this time watching through, though? Narcisse, literally, he has a necklace on that just says me.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
I was like, that is hilarious.
I didn't notice that. It's just, it's like just those little jabs that makes it so fun.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Man, it such a good movie. And then the Titans come back. Hades waits for the stars to align, releases the Titans. He's going to take over Olympus. And what happens? Even after all of his efforts, Hercules fights and Hades loses. But does he lose because Hercules is strong, or does he lose because Hercules discovered love? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because, it's interesting. This is where I want to get to later. I'll tease you guys for a later discussion. Because what you see in this movie is at one point, Hercules kind of loses because of love, right? He falls for this girl. She kind of deceives him. He gives up everything, his powers and everything for her. And he's at the bottom because he fell for love and he trusted his heart. And it's like, oh, yeah, you can't really do that. But then at the end, he kind of wins because he becomes a god again, because he jumps in after death thinking he's going to give up his own life to save that girl. And that sacrifice somehow made him a hero and he became a god. So at one point in the movie, he loses because of love. And then at another point, he becomes a god because of love.
Spoilers.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
If you haven't seen it, but you've had literally like 30 years.
I was going to say, this whole thing is just a spoiler. If you're here, you know.
If you don't know, you're 30 years too late.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, one of the reasons this film is actually pretty important to Disney history. So this was right after, I'm trying to think what the two before. I know it was right after Hunchback of Notre Dame. There was one before that, but this was the third time in a row. And for you who don't know, it's a big deal for Disney when they're not the top of the box office. Third time in a row, they weren't the top. Hercules did not do as good as they expected. Hunchback of Notre Dame didn't do as good as they expected. Whatever movie happened before that that I can't remember also did not do as good as they expected. Because they expect their movies to be the top. Now, mind you, it still made like $100 million or something, which at the time was crazy. So it's not like they were going broke.
They weren't hurting for money.
Yeah, they weren't hurting. But they were upset. And the term was being thrown around that people were feeling Disney fatigue. And that's where this movie, it was a slow burn, but it really kind of brought them back. Because once people took the time to go back and see it, once it came up on VHS, Disney kind of made it back to the top again. Once you get to like Tarzan, Mulan, and all that. I thought it was fascinating when you look at the history and just see like the newspapers and how people are writing about Disney fatigue and reviews. Cause I'm like, man, that sure sounds like superhero fatigue in the Marvel reviews right now, doesn't it? So Disney has handled this situation before. For those of you who are worried about the Avengers, Disney's done this before. It's fine.
And they will do it again.
Yeah. We'll have whatever else fatigue, and then Disney will save that. And it'll just keep happening over and over because Disney wants to make money. So they'll fix the fatigue somehow.
Is it fatigue or is it us building endurance?
That's such a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think, see, part of what happens is they slowed down how often they put out movies. And supposedly that's part of what helped with the fatigue, too, because they were putting out a movie like once every 2 years, which back then was a lot. And now it's like we expect two or three movies a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. Times are changed. Times are weird. This year, we're only getting one Marvel movie, though, so we'll see if that helps. If you had to rate Hercules from 0 to 10, how are you rating Disney's Hercules?
I mean, I would probably do a 9.5, like even a 9.8.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I told you guys early on when we did The Jungle Book and we're talking about the silver era of Disney films, I let you know then that there's only two Disney films I'm giving a 10 out of 10. Jungle Book, because even though it's not one of my favorites, I think it's just, if you're just analyzing it as a movie, it's perfect. It is fantastic. There isn't really anything that they could do better. Hercules, it's because it's my favorite. Like, there isn't a movie, and this isn't my favorite movie, but there is no movie that I could watch and then be like, yeah, man, Hercules doesn't compare. Like, I can watch Star Wars A New Hope and then still be like, yeah, I love Hercules almost as much as this. Like, it's not like it doesn't compare to any other movie. Like, to me, this is the cream of the crop. This is why I like movies. You know, it makes me laugh. It makes me feel inspired. It goes through the whole emotional roller coaster. It really draws you in with the animation. I think it's fantastic. So it's 10 out of 10 for me. I love Hercules. I know the words to every single song. I can quote all of them. I have a, this is fun. I actually have a playlist. So three different playlists for when I get sleepy. One is pop rocks, and it's like pop and rock. And then you have super pop rocks, which is a little, you know, a little bit more intense. And then I have like, don't break unless it's an emergency playlist. And it's all Disney songs. And it's like, there's 20 different copies of Zero to Hero on there. Cause I will go from like falling asleep to bless my soul, heart was on a roll in a heartbeat. Like it takes no time at all. I love that song.
That's what gets a movie a super high rating for me when it comes to the Disney category, at least, is if I sing along, because this is one of my favorite movies to sing along to. And every single song is great. Like there's no song that I'm like, okay, let's skip this. It's like, no, you have to listen to every single song. And I just love the addition of the muses, like kind of narrating and singing throughout the back. I said it before, I'll say it again. They were supposed to be the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, maybe not supposed to.
They were going to be the Spice Girls
were very heavily considered,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so thankful they're not. Yeah, and so too. It's just fun because you have the nostalgia of kind of the gospel era. Like feeling whenever they sing, and so it kind of just fits that motif, if you will.
Oh yeah, I love the gospel truth. Literally, the whole movie from "You Go Girls" all the way to the end of "A Star Is Born." Like I could get it to all of the songs. Like I think they're all fantastic, and it's just hard to sit still while watching this movie. You know, most movies, even like my favorite movies, I can like read a book or something while it's on and I can just do two things at once. Nah, this is on. It's fully engaged. Like I just can't do anything else. And it's because of the songs. The muses, since you mentioned them, were actually the first, I don't know if anyone realizes, the first true women of color or like black women characters, because you had Jasmine before this, but all the black characters before this in Disney were all just kind of like either background characters or only given like one line. But for this, the muses have like their own like actual part. So that's another kind of part of Disney history, is just how these characters were incorporated. And for Disney had some not great history with how it dealt with the race before this. So
that's a good point because muses are known in history to be like the inspiration, the beauties, like the top. The mm-hmm. cream of the crop, because the muse literally means to inspire. And so the fact that they, out of all nationalities, chose women of color. Now, I always thought they were darker skinned almost because of Egyptians, because, you know, Africa, a lot of Egyptians mm-hmm. do look black. So I never questioned why they were the color they were. So that's but interesting to point out that they were the first spotlighted.
Yeah. And I think if it would have been the Spice Girls, we might not have had that. So that would have been kind of sad.
Because I mean, the fact is your voice, they have different voices. You can tell between a black gospel singer. I mean, sometimes you can't. Some of these weird white little boys, they sound like full grown black men, and it trips me out.
Yeah. No, those are always weird. But you know, you guys know, I do like to kind of dig in a little bit and talk more about the art and animation of this. This film, it said, has the most unique art style of any Disney film. Like you're not going to go to another Disney film before or after and see where, just like the way the clouds and stuff were drawn, where it's all like kind of circular motion and it very much looks like Greek architecture. They don't really reuse that. Like this is kind of a unique thing to this movie, and it wasn't particularly complicated art. It was actually Disney went more simple to make it look the way that it did. And I think to an extent that is part of what makes the movie stand out, that they actually went more simple, that they went back to some of their older stuff. You even see some of the gag animation brought back. If you remember the scene with the haystack where they throws it and the horse gets launched way up into the air. I love gag animation. It's like my favorite thing. I think it's so funny. But, you know, like you have stuff like that. You have the watercolors and they still incorporate CGI. But I love how they kind of got back to simple stuff and then a unique art style with that. And part of that unique art style is thanks to Gerald Scarfe. So he was a British artist. He was a caricature artist. So, you know, the people who make like the weird character art of people that give you a big nose and all that. They brought him in, and that's specifically, I think they brought him in to do the gods. And then he had him do the character design for everyone. Because if you notice, like the gods all have like really over exaggerated different facial features and stuff like that. And that's how they got that. They brought in this character artist. They thought, this guy has exactly what we want. We're going to add his style to the Disney style. So you'll know this, like compared to some of the other Renaissance film, the art is a little bit different in Hercules. And that would that'd be because of Gerald Scarfe. I'll have to pay attention
more next time I watch The Gods.
Yeah,
which one has a big nose?
Other fun stuff. So the CGI integration, I do like how they did that. The Hydra, I think, was the only character fully CGI that was in this movie. Hades' hair was all CGI, and there's a few things here and there. I think they did, because I'm trying to think before this. A lot of the times when CGI was used before this, I think Fox and the Hound was the first time it was used. I thought it was okay. But a lot of times it really stands out when CGI is used in animation, where you're like, oh, okay, so everything else was drawn and this was clearly from a computer. I feel like it was hard to tell from this. Like, you can tell in the Hydra scene if you're looking for it, but I feel like if you're not looking for it, it really just matches the rest of the art pretty well. So I think that was really well done. So
yeah, I don't pay attention to any of that stuff, so it all looked good to me.
We interrupt our regularly scheduled podcasting for an important message. My name is Tejas. I come to you today to inform you that for as little as $0.00 a week, you could in fact help us by joining our Discord channel. We'd love to talk to you guys there. There's a ton you can do on Discord. You can hang out with us, talk directly to all of the hosts, ask us questions, get more involved in our community, and join in future watch sessions. We like to hop in a voice channel and stream something and watch it that way. That's a really cool way to, you know, get that sitting on the couch experience from home and, you know, living a couple hundred miles away from each other. It is my favorite thing. I would really appreciate it if some of you joined so we could hang out some more. Thanks. And back to your regularly scheduled podcast programming.
Yeah. Okay. See, the other one, the directors, I have to shout this one out because this was something I discovered 2 days ago and I got so excited. Ron Clements and John Musker. If you heard those names before, because when we did The Great Mouse Detective, the last film of the Dark Ages of Disney, we talked about how it was the last film that had any of Disney's nine old men. So the original people that started Disney. And they were kind of training these new people coming in, right? So these new artists, these new directors. And the directors for Great Mouse Detective were Ron Clemens and John Musker, who also directed. These are the guys behind Great Mouse Detective, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Hercules, Treasure Planet, Princess and the Frog, and Moana. And if you're wondering, my favorite Disney film, Hercules. TJ's favorite Disney film, Treasure Planet. My wife's favorite Disney films, Little Mermaid and Moana. So yeah, they're still involved and they're made all of my little like family group here's favorite films are all thanks to these two guys. So I thought it was really fun to notice, okay, these are the guys that are responsible for all the greatness that is Hercules and even Treasure Planet, DJ. I'll give it to you. I also really like the how the gods glue, like, you know how like they were like glowing different colors or whatever. Like I liked that part of the animation. I thought that was really cool. The last thing that I want to bring up as far as the art that I thought was interesting, Andreas Dija, he usually does villains. So he was in charge of the animation for Jafar. He was in charge of the animation for Gaston, Scar, all of these villains. But for this movie, he wanted a challenge. He went with the hero. He did the animation for Hercules himself. So that was really cool that this guy who usually does villains said, you know what? Give me Hercules. And I think he did a pretty great job with that. Did you have anything else that you noticed with like the art or animation or stuff that you just think looked pretty?
Nope. I don't go that deep into it. I'm just like, pretty. Yay.
Yeah. But Pegasus, cute, right?
Oh, yeah. Super cute.
Baby Pegasus. Like, they still sell that merch in the stores. Like, baby Pegasus is adorable.
I do agree. I mean, I would love a baby Pegasus. Wow. That is a very hard word. Yeah, this is my second podcast recording of the morning, so I'm like, Pegasus. I still can't say it. Oh my goodness. I want the baby horse from the clouds. That's done. Can't even say the name.
So out of the art into some of the other history, you mentioned Spice Girls. Jack Nicklaus was at one point considered to be Hades. They were going to make the Joker Hades. He asked for so much money that they just couldn't do it. Eventually, they filmed the whole film with someone else being Hades. I forget who it was. And they just decided it didn't work. And then they found James Wood. James Wood's Hades fantastic. Like, I don't think anyone else could pull it off. Just like how snarky he is, how like Hades is hilarious. He's constantly making these jokes of different like sitcoms and stuff throughout the movie. I love him. And if you didn't know, James Wood isn't just Hercules for this. He came back for the Disney animated series. He came back for the best video game series of all time, Kingdom Hearts. He comes back pretty much anytime Disney wants to do Hades. James Wood's like, yo, I'm back. Even did you watch House of the Mouse growing up, like in the 90s?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when the villains took over?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, James Wood was Hades. He came back to do the voice of Hades then too.
Okay, I don't see.
He's great.
Very rarely do I pay attention to voices, but I did realize, which made me love Meg even more. Meg from Hercules is Meg from Spirited Away. Same what? Voice.
No, I didn't know that.
I know.
That's wild.
So fun. I was just watching Spirited Away one day, and I was like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
Well,
so when I notice, it's pretty impressive.
Meg, I think, is my favorite female lead of any. The problem is, like, a lot of my favorites are in this movie. So, like, my favorite Disney protagonist is probably Hercules. One of my favorite, probably my favorite Disney villain is probably Hades. You know, like, I'm going through, like, my favorite female lead has got to be Meg. And I'm like, of all of, like, Disney's characters, like, I think I just love all of the characters in this movie so much. Anyway, I know your favorite is probably Mulan and not Meg, but that's fine.
It's okay. I mean, I do love Meg. I mean, she tries to learn her lesson, but I mean, at the end of the day, she did sell her soul for her boyfriend.
That's true.
That wasn't even worth it.
She got better. It's fine.
She did get better, but I mean, still fell in love, even though she won't say it.
They had two different versions of that song that they were going to do, that it was going to be like a heartfelt. At one point, it was going to be a musical of her and Hercules together singing, like, you know, their version of the Aladdin's I'll Show You the World. And eventually they're like, this just doesn't fit the character. Like, how does this character do this? And they're like, here it is. And I thought that song matched the character well. And it's also just such a good song. Like, yeah, all the songs in this are so good.
But like, Taylor would even listen to I Can Go to Distance.
Yeah.
If you are having a bad day, just play that song.
I will have to say,
you just feel inspired.
That is also one of my favorite songs. And actually, it's why I think this movie became one of my favorites pretty early on. You know, when I was a kid, I think my favorite was probably Lion King. And eventually, pretty quickly, it became Hercules. And it was because of that whole scene where, you know, you see Hercules, he can tell he doesn't belong. And he's picked on from the other kids, all this other stuff. And then he finds out that he actually belongs somewhere else. And he's trying to discover who he really is and feeling like he's a nobody. Realizing that he can be someone, and he sings that song, I Can Go the Distance. And for me, that hit all the buttons for me. Like, I've always felt out of place where I'm at. So I was able to relate to Hercules. And then just seeing him be able to be something more was really inspirational for me. So, yeah, always love that.
Also, I think we all want Hercules' workout plan.
Yeah, yeah. I need that workout plan, Phil. Come on.
Like, geez.
You know, they're doing the live action Hercules remake. And they asked Demi Lovato they asked him if he's going to be back. And he's like, yeah. They're like, oh, really? So you're going to be Phil, right? And he's like, no, I'm going to be Hercules. And he started like posing.
That's really funny.
I love him. Oh, God, he is so funny.
I wonder how they would do the scrawny to muscle. That would have to be like a really great muscle suit.
I mean, they did Chris Evans pulled it off with the Captain America movies.
True, but I mean, like, it's
there's a lot of CGI. Yeah, that's true.
We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll hold our breath and
hope
for the best.
Yeah, so they'll figure it out. So some of the puns are some of the best parts of this. You mentioned the air Hercs. I mentioned the necklace that just says me that Narcissus is wearing. I also love that they, instead of calling it Athens, the Big Apple, it's the Big Olive. I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. All the sitcom references. And then one of my favorite ones, I don't know if you noticed, the scene of I Won't Say I'm in Love. The muses are with the vases there. Those are the same vases from the Haunted Mansion ride in Disney World.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed that.
That was so cool to me. Like, when I saw it, I was like, that is so cool. Like, I love that. I love anytime they do like little just like cameos, plugs, stuff like that in there. All fun stuff. Okay. All of the history and art stuff behind that. Pang's like, hey, just get to the other stuff. I want to talk about just the fun stuff.
I'm trying to think. Wasn't Scar as a rug?
Yeah, that's right. Scar was also.
I pay a little attention to that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, since the animator
you know, they have Scar's thing on Hercules, but the animator who was in charge of Hercules animation is the one who did Scar's animation originally. So I always thought that was, yeah. I was like, that was kind of,
he just wanted to double dip a little. That's
like,
okay.
He's like, let don't me just all. Show off. You just show it off. It's fine. So one thing we like to do with these episodes is to discuss our favorite scene, favorite song, and favorite character of the movie. I will let you guys know this is going to be the hardest one for me yet, because I kind of want to pick all of the scenes, and whatever I pick, I'm later going to go, man, I should have picked this instead. And same just thing start with the song the whole and all movie. Of it. Yeah. Like, let me just start. It's only a 90-minute movie, so in the beginning.
Well, no, actually, I have to catch a plane, so we do not have time.
Okay.
Next time.
I'm going to make you start, though, so I can think. What okay, is your so favorite scene? Let's start with favorite scene.
Favorite scene. Probably the time where Hercules gets found and they say the God, because they've been praying for a baby.
Oh, that was so sweet.
And that is just super heartfelt. And so they got to, you know, they had an answered prayer and got to raise a baby boy, even though, you know, he was a God. Yeah.
I feel like we're both picking heartfelt moments.
What are you going to pick?
I loved when it was teenage Hercules and he feels so alone and he's like, oh, I don't belong. And he's all upset. And his adopted dad comes to him with the medallion. And you could tell like what's going on is he's thinking, I might lose my son if I let him know who he really is. And he goes to him anyway. And he tells him what he needs to know. And he sends him off. And just kind of like one of those, like, I'm sending you off because I know you need to find yourself. And even though we love you this much, we know we have to let you go. And I'm like, ah, it's so ooh, good. Sweet. It's so good.
Yeah. Hercules' adoptive parents do not get enough recognition. Yeah.
They're the real heroes. They should have become gods at the end.
Yes.
Okay. Favorite song, The Impossible Choice. Hang, where are you going with this one?
It will have to be I Can Go the Distance.
That's fair. Like, let me just be clear. There isn't a wrong answer here. I could like
also
even
the beginning song is so
yeah,
fun.
Even
too.
The beginning, like the gospel truth. Yeah, I am going to be stereotypical. I'm going to go Zero to Hero just because I always get it to this. There's been twice at church camp where I have gone on stage and performed the entire song for the kids because it's one where I like, I know I have a terrible singing voice. I know I look stupid, but I get so into it and people like laughing at me and it's fine. Because
I enjoy laughing at you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we started doing videos so people can point and laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to think if you did that with any of our church camps. I just remember you jumping a lot.
That's true.
You just jumped all the time.
That's true. That is true. I think when I stopped jumping is when I started putting on weight. Maybe I should.
Yeah, just start jumping more. That's the regimen. That's the routine. Keep jumping.
Oh, man. Okay. Favorite character in the movie Hercules. Also, no, I don't think there's any wrong answers.
I would have to say Phil, man.
That's fair. I was kind of hoping you were going to say the adoptive parents. I'm like, no. Yeah.
No, Phil is so funny.
Especially I do love
the
Phil.
Scene who's like,
so
all right.
Good.
When he was going to all like the heroes of like a freaking the dang heel got him. Or like, I trained this one, all the isses.
Yeah, all the isses. So, I love that.
All the isses. He's so funny.
Yeah, and then all of the two words. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's just the most entertaining character. And yeah. He doesn't, you know, once that's again, fair. It's obvious to go Hercules or Meg, but Phil really, he's the one that made him.
I'm going to say Meg.
That's Phil's boy.
I'm going to say Meg's my favorite character.
Wow.
It's hard because I do love every single character. And
I thought
Hades,
you were going to say Hades.
Yeah, it's hard not to pick Hades. He stole the show. Whenever Disney has their villain nights in Magic Kingdom or the cruises, you always have Hades there because Hades is a fan favorite. I love Hades. But man, at the end of the day, for me, even though I can relate to young Hercules, he's a god. So how much I relate to him really kind of stops there, you know? But Meg, she made these terrible decisions in life. She made a literal deal with the devil and is trying. Like, it's like she's not even trying for redemption. She's just trying to not be as bad. And for me, that like her motivation just speaks to my soul. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. And then the whole I won't say I'm in love. I'm like, yeah, that's she's such a fun character. She's got a lot of attitude, a lot of spunk. You know, a lot of personality, which historically before this, Disney's not done great given their female characters' personality. You know, a lot of times your princesses are just kind of damsels in distress. And her, I'm a damsel I'm in distress. I don't want your help. I'm like,
I am not perfect. A damsel in distress. But also just the when Hercules is doing that scene, he's like, my good, looks down, sir. So funny. You don't catch that when you're a kid.
Oh, God. It's just hilarious. The whole film is just so good. Oh, And again, if you would ask me a different day, I might have told you a different scene, a different song, and a different character for my favorite. Like, they're all great. So I mentioned a few places before, but there are other places you could see characters from this film in other movies, shows, or places in the parks. Of course, there are the parades, especially if you go to Disney's Halloween. Hades has a fantastic float in the villains parade there. Pegasus merch is all over the place. Hercules himself still makes appearances in Hollywood Studios. I've always miss him. Every time I go, I wait. I know what spot he comes out on, and I literally just stand there and wait. And I've never got the chance to be there. He's a pretty rare character to find. But if you are going to find him, it's going to be in Hollywood Studios or in Epcot. So those are the two places that he's been found in the last few years. If you're looking for him, I mentioned House of Villains. Kingdom Hearts. There is only one Disney World that's in all three of the main entries of the Kingdom Hearts games. And that is, of course, Hercules. So it's like my favorite video game series said, you know what? You know what? We know what
we're
going to
make Josh's day. We're just going to make one little boy very happy.
When Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, and I had waited 14 years for this, and they were like, hey, we're only bringing two worlds back. And I'm like, only two? Oh, no. Because, like, you got to think, like, they've already done Lion King, Aladdin, Nightmare Before Christmas, all of the best. And I'm like, Mulan. They already did Mulan. And they're like, we're only going to bring two back. I'm like, only two? You got to bring them all back. What are you talking about? They're like, but the two we're bringing back is Hercules and Pirates of the Caribbean. And I was like, it's like they just went through my brain and said, what'll make him happiest?
Yes, they took only your opinion.
Yeah, that had to be what
lifestyle
happened.
Lifestyle into consideration.
I think that's just true. God said, you know what? Josh has had a rough year. And he went and spoke directly to the programmers of this game.
Let's help him out. Let's make his life worth living now.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, that was just my gift from God, is that Kingdom Hearts 3 had Hercules as part of the character. Another one of my favorite moments. So in Epcot, so Disney World's 50 year anniversary, Epcot had their special celebration of like the light show with the fireworks called a Harmonious. Mm-hmm. And they did different mashups of all of the Disney songs. Right. And they would do a lot of them in like languages from where the movie's from. So you'd get like Aladdin sung partially in Arabic. You got some of the songs from Encanto sung in Spanish. Well, of course. They had to do the mashup. When we went for my anniversary with my wife, they mashed up my favorite film, Hercules, with her favorite Moana as the finale to Harmonious. And I was like, this is fantastic.
Guys would be together forever.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 years into our marriage, we figured it out.
So cute.
Oh, yeah. Man. And they don't have any official rides yet. They're talking about making a villain park, and I'm sure Hades will have a ride if they do that. But you can find them all over the place. So. There's no shortage of Hercules if you want more Hercules. And of course, I mentioned the Hades comic earlier. There's a few other Hercules comics you can find. All great stuff. The Hercules animated series, it's okay. It's definitely meant for a younger audience than the original movie, but still good. On the show, you know, we like to go a little bit deeper. So I want to talk about some of the themes in this film. And first, I think it's interesting how this film very much could have been like the Ego story. How Hercules got too big for his britches once he figured out he was a real hero and God, and it was all about pride. And I feel like that was there, but they didn't really lean into that. It wasn't like Hercules got consumed by his pride isn't what took him down. So I thought it was interesting that they didn't make that the theme.
He did get like a little,
I
wouldn't say conceited, but he got a little,
too
full of himself. You know what I mean? Because he was like high up on endorphins and winning. I wouldn't even say entitled. He was just really... like, you know, a lot of people was pumping him up. So he felt like he was invincible, you know, rightfully so, but not even in a jerky way. What I think I'm better. He went literally from zero to hero. And I think it got a little to his head. So I think hot-headed is probably the best term for him.
Yeah. Like it got a little bit there, but it wasn't like the main part of the story. Like it could have just been, this was a story of how someone got too big for their britches and that was it. But like it was there, but I don't feel like it was like a main theme. What was interesting, though, is like part of that, what you're getting at, though, is you get to some of like celebrity worship. And I think that's even some of what they're making fun of with like the Air Hercs and all that. And like the Air Jordans, you know, how like.
That was so funny with the,
God, it's
the
so funny.
Custom drink so and good. Stuff.
Yeah. I loved how Hades was like, I'm trying to something with the cosmos and halt the universe. And you and the one schmuck that could get in my way and you're taking his merchandise. And it's
but
just
they're comfy. Talking about the slippers.
Yeah. And then he looks at Panic. He's like, want a drink? That's just so funny. Oh, man.
It really is funny.
Also, did you notice that during the Hydra fight, when Hades says it's only halftime, is halfway through the movie?
Oh, that's, no. I wouldn't
like,
have
it's so crazy.
That.
Like, someone pointed that out to me. I was like, that is insane.
I'm surprised like you didn't figure that out.
I didn't. Someone just pointed it out. And I was like, oh, that's crazy.
Was it TJ?
I don't remember. I might have just saw it on the internet, but the celebrity worship stuff, what I think is funny. So like, A, it is funny because we do that, right? Like we definitely wear Air Jordans because we like Michael Jordan and we wear this person's shirt because of this thing. Like it's very much an American thing, probably a worldwide thing. But like, how did you feel like about them making fun of that? Do you think they were just like joking or do you think they were actually trying to make a point out of how this is kind of an unhealthy way to relate to the world?
I think they were mainly joking, but you do have fandoms, you know. I mean, look at Taylor Swift and her Swifties.
I love me some Taylor Swift now.
I mean, same. I mean, look at me. I love Studio Ghibli, and right behind me there's a Totoro plushie that I got from Japan. So I don't think there's any. I don't think they were making fun of it as there's a problem that needs to be dealt with. Especially back in the 90s, they didn't have social media to kind of go crazy like we do now.
Yeah, it's definitely worse today.
Yeah, it's awful today.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting how like you have these themes of celebrity worship in the movie and it's a movie about gods, you know.
True.
So it's
kind of
like that's pretty ironic because it's like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, today. And I don't think it's always a problem. Like, I think calling yourself a Swiftie is fine. Like, I love Taylor Swift. I think the problem is like when some I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie just because I don't know a lot of like her relationship and like the lore of Taylor Swift, if that makes sense. I just like the songs. Yeah.
You appreciate, but you don't follow.
Yeah. I like the songs. That's all. But to me, I think the problem is when you're obsessed, when it's like completely consumed your life. Like you have Taylor Swift posters in every single room of your house. Your whole social media is just following Taylor Swift all the time. And it's like consumed you. That's when I think it's a problem. And that's where we get celebrity worship and like God's worship kind of in our real world. That really does seem like it's pretty similar to how the ancients would have worshipped the gods is a lot of how we worship like pop music stars now.
Yeah, because I mean, you can go with the where your time is technically where your worship is. So you can even own weeks where I may be kind of like medicating with anime. That's where my worship is. So I've talked in my own podcast with Taylor how we have to be mindful of what we do with our time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's a heart thing too. You know, on the one hand, God wants us to enjoy the world that we are in. It's not like God wants us to sit around being miserable all the time. Like, I think God gets joy when I have joy reading comics, thinking about things like Superman dealing with identity crisis. Like, I think God gets joy out of me enjoying the life that he has given me. But I think when I take that to the extent of it replaces my relationship with God, that's when it's unhealthy and it can be harming to me.
Yeah,
and
obsessive.
Yeah.
Even Taylor with working out, like we have some friends where they are so obsessed with working out, now their body image is tied to working out. Whereas if they miss a day, they think they're fat. And so that almost is like worshiping, you know, the gym, if you will.
Yeah. Also not great. Worshiping yourself, not great.
No, no.
Yes. But the one theme that it does stick out to me the most, we mentioned it earlier, is just how they handle love in this movie. And for you guys who know me at all, you know my favorite book is C.S. Lewis's The Four Loves. And I think you see all of the loves in this movie. You see Phil and Hercules building this deep friendship, right? Like yes, Phil's his mentor, but they also have like this bond that's a little bit deeper than that. You see that the family that adopted Hercules, you can't convince me that wasn't some kind of family love that they said, we're going to take this kid in and make him our own. So we had this found family. You have the romance, right? You have Herc and Meg, great romance story, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Then you have that sacrificial love. Are you willing to lay down your life for something else? I don't think the movie did this intentionally. This is what confuses me. I don't know what the movie was trying to get at. Because in the movie, love, got him in trouble and got him hurt. Then love saved the day. And that confuses me. Now, with my own framework, I'm able to kind of make sense of it because, you know, I look at the four loves and I see where all of our human loves always fail. Romance love on its own is going to fail. Your friendship, you know, you're going to become cliques. You're going to isolate other people, right? Your romance love, you're going to be so obsessed with someone else, you forget to take care of yourself. Like, there are problems with all of our human loves if they're not governed by something greater, which I'll say is that sacrificial love. So for me, it makes sense that when it was just that romance love, he got himself in trouble, right? He got deceived. He got tricked by Hades. He lost his power. The whole world was almost destroyed. And then he was willing to go out with no powers to take on Titans, knowing he's going to die. Then he was willing to dive after the woman he loved, sacrificing his own life, knowing he wasn't going to get to be with her. And that sacrifice love is what allowed him to then become a true hero and become a god. I'm able to make sense of it with like my framework there. And I'm like, that makes sense. It fits how I view the world. But I don't know if that's what the movie was actually trying to get at itself. If that makes sense.
True. I mean, why don't we just call Disney right now?
Yeah. Put him on the line. Yeah. Let's call Ron Clement.
I'm sure he has time.
Yeah. He's got nothing going on. But what do you think? As far as like how love is handled in this movie, do you approve, disapprove, have different thoughts? Where are you at?
I mean, I approve. I love the fact that they didn't fall in love at first sight. You know, like it was almost like a friendship, if you will, which I feel I tell people all the time, especially since I'm friends with a lot of young adults and they're all looking for the next one. Well, not the next, but their future spouse. And I'm like, hey, just be friendly with them. You don't have to go, like, you don't have to see someone and be like, ooh, that could be my husband. No, become like, get to know them, see if it clicks. And I feel like that's what happened. It wasn't a instant, we looked at each other, now we're in love, and now we're gonna go get married type deal. It was a nice, like, hey, we have gone through this journey together, and through the journey we ended up falling in love. And because that love is so strong, I'm going to sacrifice for each other.
Yeah.
So that was very, very realistic version of love. I mean, despite selling a soul to the devil and jumping into a pit of Hades, you know, very.
Yeah. Very that part might be problematic.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you feel like marriage is jumping into a pool of
dead souls. Don't say that.
I mean, some days.
Yeah.
Some days it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
What's ironic is I did have one of those moments when I met my wife where when I first saw her face, I had like an intrusive thought of, I'm going to marry that girl. And I remember telling her like pretty early on, I was like, I know this is what's going to happen. So I feel like I'm just here for it.
You know what's funny? When I first saw Taylor, I was dating Izzy at the time, our mutual friend. And I was like, if I have a breakup with Izzy, I'm going to date him.
Anyway, I think Izzy listens
and
to this.
I mean, obviously there is an initial attraction, but it started with a friendship, not of me trying to be like, is that my next husband?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If we didn't become friends first, it wouldn't work. Because like a lot of times, especially if you live with someone for an extended period of time, sometimes the romance isn't always there, you know, not saying it shouldn't be. But, you know, when you're someone constantly 3 years, at some point in the day, you're just going to want to be chilling on the couch. You're not going to want to be like romancing somebody. And it's nice if the person next to you is someone that you like chilling on the couch with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I do like how that was handled. I'm still confused on like love got him in trouble, but then love also won the day. Like that still kind of confuses me. Unless you're using my framework, maybe Ron Clemens is just a Christian who thinks exactly like me. That would be cool. But I liked how, to me, the bigger sacrifice wasn't that he was willing to give up his life, but rather he was willing to give up being a god to spend his life with her. So it wasn't just that he was willing to die, but it's that he was willing to live with her. And I think a lot of times what's weird is especially in like the Baptist Pentecostal circles of Christianity, we're always taught like be willing to sacrifice, be willing to sacrifice. And sometimes we forget you have to be willing to live for something too, not just die for something. So I like that that was also part of it. There is only one problem I have with this movie. That's part of the deal with the devil thing. And it just this is like the most like minor stupid thing. The final showdown with Hercules and Hades. Hercules makes this deal that he'll give up his life for Meg. And he jumps in and he brings Meg out. And then he just punches Hades and leaves. I'm like, wait a minute, you broke your deal. You got to stay there. Like your deal was that you would stay here if he let you get Meg. Why do you get to just break your deal now? I don't understand.
He's a god, so he's not
bound
by
to the rules. Oaths. He made a promise. Maybe, he's got to keep that promise.
We could go super Christian. It was like when he rose from the water, he was a new creation. So the old.
So technically, the old man. Yeah, yeah. A human made the deal. He's not a human. So yeah, he got baptized. That's what it was. He was baptized in the pools of death and love.
His old self was washed away, you know, with his old commitment. That was it.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to this movie and the greatness that is Hercules that it's impossible to say enough about?
I know it really like isn't, you know, like what we talked about just doesn't do it justice. Just go watch it, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like you should watch it at least 4 times a year, once a quarter.
That's accurate. Yeah, that is accurate. Mm-hmm. Maybe once a month. One thing I didn't mention earlier. I think when we talk about art, like a lot of times it's easy to remember to do this with comics because like it's just the way it's laid out and the way people talk about comic books. But I want to shout out the colorist for Hercules. So, yeah, the penciling, I mentioned that earlier, like how all the clouds were like swirling and how everything was kind of modeled after Greek architecture was really cool. But I think whoever did the colors for this movie, I wish I knew who it was. They deserve their own hats off to them. The colors really make this movie pop and just enjoyable. The way that goes along with the rest of the art, with the animation, with the CG, with the music, with the characters. It's a perfect film, I think. I think it's just perfect.
It really is. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about it at all.
No, it's, yeah. Turn us off and go watch Hercules again.
That's I don't think it say. Even offended too many people, right? Because, I mean, Mulan was technically very offensive.
Yeah, they originally were going to play this, like its premiere was going to be in Greece and Greece wouldn't allow it because it's like, this is nothing like the original Greek myths. But I think that was very short lived. Like, I feel like, yeah.
They probably appreciated the jab.
Yeah, well, because once it came out, it became obvious that they weren't trying to make this the Greek myth. They were just trying to do their own story with the same characters. So I feel like... I don't know.
Yeah.
But with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. And I'll let you guys know, if you stick around, you'll get a bonus question over on Patreon, Captivate, or Apple Podcast. So if you support the show, you'll get to hear us answer another impossible question, being if we had to lose any one song from this movie, which would we choose to lose?
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, it's impossible. Before we get to that, though, we have to finish this show for those who aren't supporters. Give a recommendation. If we had to recommend anything, doesn't have to be about this movie, could be, you know, just whatever you're thinking about right now. What would you recommend for our followers today?
Go watch Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki. It's a Studio Ghibli film. That way you can hear Meg's voice again.
You just so that we could keep hearing Meg's voice.
Because her name is Meg so it's always Meg.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A book I've recommended before, I'm going to recommend again because it's relevant. If you want to hear more of accurate representation of Greek myths and do it in like a one story at a day with a little Christian message afterwards, almost like a devotional kind of style thing. The Myth Made Fact, Reading Greek and Roman Mythology Through Christian Eyes by Louis Marcos. Dr. Louis Marcos? Yeah. Check that out. I think it's a lot of fun. All the stories are really short and it's got a quick, hey, what was the moral of the story? How's that relate to our beliefs? And I think it's fun. It's a good time. So check that out. Then go and rate and review our show on Podchaser, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Thank you again to Daniel Sigmund for supporting the show. You make this show possible, Daniel. We love you. And make sure you guys check out the rest of our Disney Era series with a link in the description down below to hear more of our reviews of Disney films and the eras of Disney. Right now, again, we're still in the Renaissance era. Remember, we're all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hello, friends. Are you enjoying what you're hearing from Systematic Ecology today in your earbuds, or whether it's on YouTube, or whether you're in traffic, or whether you're at work? Well, there's another way that you can stay engaged with us at Systematic Ecology, and that's on our Instagram account. Yes, hop over to Instagram, follow. We'll follow back, we promise. We post lots of fun stuff over there, whether they're updates on new podcasts that are coming out or getting ready to come out, or whether they're memes or we're sharing what other of our friends are up to out in the world. Sometimes we go live at events, whether we're at a Comic-Con or whether we are just hanging out with friends on the back porch grilling out. You can follow us there. We also have videos and reels, like what's in Will's pull box from his local comic book store. He shares what he's reading in the world of comics. And then Christian is going to do some reviews of Spider-Man comics called Spidey Swing Bys. That's going to be fun. And then there's non-canon stuff. Non-canon? What? Yeah, Joshua's going to be reviewing one intellectual property from outside of the canon of his favorite fandoms, or a piece of literature that's a part of the biblical extra canonical material. Man, that sounds like fun. But yeah, Instagram is one of my favorite social media outlets, and I love to engage with friends and family over there. And so we hope that you can engage with us there.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk to you about the Ant Network. That is the Anazon Ministries Podcasting Network. That's what we do for all of us here together. You can follow the whole network in a single feed on Spotify at Anazon Ministries Podcast, or on the network page on Apple Podcasts to just see what we're all doing and what are we doing. Well, we have plenty of things here. We've got the homily. You love Pastor Will? You want to hear Pastor Will preach? You hear the man doing a homily there? It's amazing. The man does spectacular work for Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Then we have the Whole Church Podcast. If you want to hear Joshua and TJ talk to different people from around the church who have very different views on how things should go, check it out there. You want to go to My Seminary Life? You want to get some more Brandon Knight in your life? Who doesn't want more of that? Go there, hear about the man, discuss his time at seminary, which is what he used to do. Now he's on other topics, and just head out there for what the rest of the man can do. Hear a lot of good stuff that way. Now you can head over to Let Nothing Move You. That's my podcast where I go through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I started with Luke, then I went to Romans. Now I'm in Genesis, and I'm moving on from there. It's a good time if you want to hear how I view the Bible, how things should go there. You can do that. You can go to Dummy for Theology, where you hear Joshua Noel discuss the various theological topics that he has there in the attempt to show every side of the big discussions, leaving you with more questions than answers. If that infuriates you like me, but you still want to listen, head out that way. You can go to the Bible After Hours. We have the foul mouth preacher there, and he's going to deliver themes that not ready for every ear to hear, but sometimes you need someone to be a little filthy out there just to give a more progressive view of the church to challenge the status quo of what is happening here. Do you agree with him? Do you not like him? How are you going to know if you don't listen to him? And finally, we have Save Best for Last, the Clydes. Taylor and Elizabeth Clyde, you need some more pangalangan in your life, like all of us do, then head out there, see what's going on in their own life, in their own ministry, so you can hear the devotions and everything going on in their lives. Once again, that's the Anna's Out Ministries Podcasting Network, AMP, and we love you guys. See you next time.